You're tuned into Highway Sermons
with Sean Michaud.
Hello, there we are. Praise God. How many of you are blessed to be here this morning? I am blessed, blessed, blessed. Amen. And so are you. Do you know it? So it doesn't make any difference if you don't know it. But I just wanted to read a couple of verses here. Because during praise and worship and all these things dropped into my mind. But there were some words that went forth talking about how basically I'm paraphrasing these words, but how much God loves us and we can trust Him. And you know, sometimes we hear messages, we hear, you know, I sit right over here with my family and I love sitting and receiving. And you know, you can never hear too much. Sometimes it's very tempting if you've heard something before to say, well, I already know that. I challenge you this morning, if you ever say, I already know that, you really don't know it. Because if you really know something and it's operating and working in your life, you love hearing it again. But for too long in the church as a whole, we've wanted different messages each Sunday to feel like we're building our message library in our heads. We're not doing anything with it, but we've got it there. How many of you ever visited a friend and they show you their shelf with all their books? You can tell they haven't read one. But they've got them. I like to see worn Bibles. Now, I don't mark up my Bible. Now listen, some people do. No problem. I'm not saying that. But I discovered a long time ago, let me just give you a little hint. And I'm not trying to, if you're doing this, no problem. Listen to me. But when I got born again, I received a Bible. I went out and bought one. And I read the Bible, just poured over it and poured over it and poured over it. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Maybe you say yes at one time. Yes, or you've never experienced that. You know, you really need to receive such a heart and a hunger for the Word that you can't wait to get in it, and you're just pouring over it and pouring over it, and the Word of God is just pouring into you. But I had marked up, I had a nice system. Had a bunch of different color pencils and a straight edge, and I had underlined this verse. And when it was talking about this, it was this color. And it was talking about that, it was that color. Now folks, there's nothing wrong with that. You know why? Because while I was doing that, I was thinking about what the Bible was saying. But you know what happened? I became very proud of it. That when I was in church, I opened it up and my Bible was hardly no white there. And I'd look at my neighbor's Bible and in my heart, I'm just being honest with you folks, this is what flesh does. And you know what happened? I went with Andrew on a mission trip to Scotland. And I left my Bible in Scotland. I was heartbroken. And then I figured out it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because if we fill up our Bibles with notes, now listen to me, don't be offended what I'm saying. Do that. But keep buying new Bibles to get new notes. Because what happens is that we read the old notes and not even the Word. Woo. Oh, let me see what I know about this scripture already. Oh, that's good. Let's keep going. Read the verse again. Without all of what you already think you know about it. Because I'm discovering the longer I get into this, the more I don't even know. And I've discovered that the Bible, the Word of God, and our Christian life, I'm borrowing a term from Shrek, but it's like an onion. There's layers and layers and layers. And just as you thought you received everything there is, that layer of that onion falls off and you realize, oh my God, there's more. And I have 20 minutes. No problem. I just want to read a few verses. All of you know by now that I have no problem speaking. So I'm not here to impress you. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 139 because, folks, it is absolutely paramount. There are quite a few verses that came into my heart during praise and worship. Now, how many of you know, I'm just going to share with you a little insight. How many of you know that there's a lot of prophetic things going on during praise and worship here? And let me just say, if you're a Bible teacher, there's also things going on. It's true. So most of the time when Pastor called me yesterday and asked me what I was going to preach. Oh, I was like, oh Lord, why'd you ask me that? Because I know it's going to change. And that's what happens. I go in with my idea, and there's nothing wrong with that. You need to be prepared with what you believe. But you know what happens is if God drops something in your heart, that's what He wants you to share because He knows what the people out here need to hear. And all of the words that were coming forth this morning is exactly what was dropping into my heart to share. Isn't it amazing how God does that? She got up and she gave this great testimony about the cancer being burned out. And right before that, God spoke to me. And those who know me shall do great exploits. I pulled it on my phone because I had to go search it. I knew it was in Daniel, but where? I don't have time to read the whole book of Daniel during praise and worship to find it. So, Daniel 11:32. And it says in the King James Version, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's powerful, folks. And then it was cross-referenced with something else. This is the way God works with my mind, okay? I can't help it. And I don't apologize. I love it. It's what I'm called to do. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, I said let's turn something. I'm not even going there, man. But anyway. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Let's go there real quick. Because if we're going to know God, we have to know what it is we need to know. It's not just believing He exists. Everyone believes He exists. I don't care if an atheist says He doesn't exist. For the very fact that he claims God doesn't exist, he knows He exists. You don't waste your time not believing in something that isn't there. And I've discovered that atheists have their doctrine teachers, just as we do. Might be Dershowitz. That's one atheist who has a great preacher of atheism. And they go and they listen and they read their books and continuously reinforce their faith that there is no God. Why do they have to keep reinforcing their faith there is no God if there was no God? The same way we need to keep hearing the word and the right and the truth. To keep reinforcing the truth. But in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Now I believe that God, this morning, I believe this. It's only going to take us another 15 minutes, but I believe this. This service is in preparation for what's coming this week. Hello. You have to believe that. You have to agree with that. Or you will come this week, if you're coming, daring to see if anything's going to happen. And I've discovered if you're daring to see, you rarely see. Because God, I don't know about you, but God, that kind of attitude, God doesn't try to prove you wrong. True. God proves himself true to those who know him and believe. Well, I don't believe God does that because I don't believe it. It's never happened to me. That's why. I love what Andrew says so many times. He'll preach and say something, and he says, some of you may be out there saying, well, I don't believe that. He says, don't worry, it won't bother you. I don't believe God's good. Don't worry. But Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. How many of you want to do great exploits? You have to know God. And not just some Bible knowledge. Because you can go to seminary and pass all the tests and not know God. But the certificate on your wall says you do. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 16. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Did not we just sing a song that the whole earth would be filled with his glory? Have you ever thought about what that literally means? I always imagined this cloud, a vapor, just settling on the earth. And we're waiting for the glory cloud. Listen, the glory's in you. The Bible says in Colossians that it is Christ in you. It's a mystery. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So when the glory's going to fill the earth, it's because we're doing great exploits and people are coming to Christ. People are getting healed. People are being set free from sin, from drugs, from everything. Being set free and on fire and in love with Jesus. That's the glory. The glory is in us, flowing out of us to other people. Stop waiting for the glory cloud. It's not coming. I tell you, I don't know how many times. Listen, folks, I don't want to. Man, I can't go there. So many times during praise and worship, I'm going there. We try to work ourselves into the glory. Folks, the glory is trying to work itself out of you. Amen. I've heard these things. Yes, so have I. But it's never been more real than right now in my life. Ephesians chapter 3, folks. If we're going to know God, if we want to do great exploits, there's so many people that want to do great exploits, but they don't follow God's plan. Those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. Not those who do great exploits shall know their God. Andrew calls that spiritual dyslexia. And the only reason I quote Andrew is because a lot of you have heard his teachings and you say, that's Andrew, isn't it? Yeah, it is. You know what dyslexia is? You see things backwards. If I would just do more, I'd get more glory. No, you have all the glory you need. Release it by believing in who God is and you will see great things happen. Those of you who are struggling with things, those words that came forth, those weren't just words to tickle someone's ears so someone could come forward and look like they're spiritual. It was a word that God is giving people who might be struggling with what they're going through, who's starting to doubt God's goodness because all they see is the problem. I'm not doubting the problems exist. I'm doubting their right to continue to exist. Hello. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How's he going to dwell in your hearts? Now, folks, he lives there if you're born again. Paul's talking about a reality of understanding it. He's not saying that if you're born again and if you aren't doing all these things, Christ leaves. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the reality in your experience of that truth that Christ is in you. It is working itself out of you and affecting not only your life, but those who are around you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Folks, I don't know if you've discovered this, but love solves everything. That's too simplistic. Yes. I can quote Apostle Paul, I'm afraid for you, lest your minds have been corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Folks, the Christian life is so simple, the devil joined the church and made it complicated. I'm talking about the church universal, folks. He made it complicated. So we have men who don't have a clue, and if they're honest, they aren't walking in even what they're preaching. And it's not working because it's become complicated. I don't know about you, but there are some messages that when I hear it, it puts me under anxiety. Because I feel like I'm not interceding enough and all these things. You know what? You aren't believing enough in the love of God. Because if you had a revelation of the true love and character and nature of God, it would so transform the way you see everything that you could not remain in whatever it is that you're facing. It says here that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Folks, when you're rooted and grounded in love, that's when you're able to comprehend the unsearchable, unending, bottomless riches and mercy and grace and love of Jesus that cannot be exhausted. Now look at the next verse. It says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I don't know about you, but that seems to me like an oxymoron, if I use that terminology correct. To know which can't be known. It's talking about two different types of knowledge. To know by experiential revelation knowledge that which cannot be learned by the natural understanding. That's what it's talking about. There's a reason I'm saying these things. Because the Bible teaches us in Galatians, I believe it's chapter 5 somewhere, that faith works by love. And so many times we've interpreted that verse, and it's true. But the way it's been interpreted is the effect of the reality. When we understand by revelation knowledge the love that God has for us, our faith works. How many of you have discovered that? And when you've understood and you've experienced and you have a revelation of the love of God that's already in your heart, you're able to love others. But how many of you ever tried to love someone trying to work up faith and it doesn't work? Because you're doing it in your strength and your power, your ability. But when you have a revelation of the love of God, you're loving someone with the love of Christ. How many of you ever have seen in the Bible the love of Christ constrains us? The love of Christ. That is not love. It is Christ's love in you that enables you, that power empowers you. So when the Bible says, right here, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's talking about being rooted and grounded in God's love, unconditional love for us. And when you grab a hold of it, folks, the results are a transformed life. And it's those people who know their God. Are you catching what God did here? I did not have this message planned. Ask Steve. He called me yesterday. I didn't have this message planned. It happened right there when I'm sitting. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying the way it works. When we know... Sorry, mate. See, I'm becoming like one of you guys, huh? No, it'd be Bru, huh? But when we know the love of God, folks, I'm not talking about intellectual. Steve taught a course on Wednesday night, and he gave a test, and I passed the test, and I got 100% marks. I know the love of God because it says love of God on the test, and I'm look right here. Folks, let me tell you something. I went to Colorado Bible College. It's now called Karis Bible College, Andrews School. And again, I'm not bragging, but I came out number one in marks. Right? But I am now, I knew those things. But I don't, it's like onions, like I said. What I know now, I didn't have a clue of then. Although I thought I did. I could show you the marks. We call them report cards in the U.S. Do you call them report cards? Report cards. I show you. Look. Right? Now that's the start. But we have to know the love of God, which passes knowledge by revelation. We have to be rooted and grounded in love. And when we're rooted and grounded in love, and when we know the love of God, faith works by love, and those that know their God shall be strong and shall do great exploits. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying this message today. Folks, if you're facing anything in your life, you don't need more faith. You need to be rooted and grounded in love. Because the Bible says, I'm not going to turn there, but in 1 John chapter 4, perfect love casts out fear. You remember the man who had a son who the demons would throw him into the fire and he'd wallow at his mouth and the disciples couldn't cast the demons out? Pastor Steve taught on that. And he went to Jesus and said, if you can do anything, what did Jesus say? If you can believe. What he was really saying, if you can believe how good I am. Jesus dealt with the fear in his heart. So many times we're wanting God to do something in our life and we're not dealing with the fear that's in our heart. We need a revelation of God's love. Revelation of God's goodness. Because faith works by love. So those words were for today. God is reemphasizing how he's wanting to do this in your life. You don't need to pray longer. Pray harder. No, you need to pray rooted and grounded in love. You just need to raise your hands higher. I don't know about you, but there's only so high you can do it. And I got news for you. Listen, this might set someone free today. God's not way out there somewhere. He's right here. I want to close on this one last verse. Let's go over to Psalm. How many of you like Psalm? How many of you like the writings of David? I don't know if you've discovered this, but David had a revelation of the new covenant. He did, folks. He wrote about the tender mercies of David. You know what the tender mercies of David are? The new covenant. If you don't believe me, read Hebrews. Read what Paul said about it. David lived according, listen to me, David looked forward to the Christ who would come. We look to the Christ who came. But let's turn over to Psalm, and I'll finish on this verse. 139. And this is David writing, folks. Psalm 139, we could read all these things, but I want to focus on verse 17. Psalm 139 and verse 17. And this is something that you're going to need to start believing about yourself when it comes to how God thinks about you. Look at this. Psalm 139, verse 17 says, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, Mo God. How great is the sum of them." Now, just in case you're thinking that you can add it up, David goes further. "If I should count them, they should be more in number than the sand." How many of you have gone to the beach? Little over there in Durban, little, you know that place called Durban? How many of you have gone to the beach? How many of you can number the grains of sand that are stuck on your feet? Not on the beach, but just stuck on your feet. What does God say through David? "If I should count the number of thoughts that you think toward me, I cannot even count them." Have you ever thought about that God thinks about you all the time? And it's not, when is he going to get it together? I'm going to give you a testimony. True story of a friend of ours. Name is Judy. She had a stroke and the whole left side of her body was paralyzed. Guess what happened? Fear came. It's normal. Normal for a human being to feel that way. But here's the problem. We're not just normal. We're not just natural. We're also supernatural. And God started speaking to her, and he said, "Why should you worry? There's not a moment of the day when you're not on my mind." And if you knew this lady, I'm not being mean, but she's one of those ladies that nobody would notice. She wasn't attractive. She was short, well overweight, thick glasses. You understand what I'm saying here? In the natural, people have paid her no mind. But God said, "Why do you worry? There's not a moment of the day when you're not on my mind." She started meditating on that, started getting rooted and grounded in love. And guess what happened? I'm not joking. She was instantly healed. Brothers and sisters, God's wanting to do so much in our lives. But it's our doubt. Because we're so wrapped up in our own weaknesses many times. We know what we did. We know that we just had an argument with our wife on the way to church. We did not. I'm just saying, for example. Thank God. Because there have been times when it happened. And you come into church, praise and worship's going, and you think, "I can't worship God right now. I'd be a hypocrite." No, you'd be a hypocrite not to. Because in your spirit, you've been joined to the Lord. And you are righteous, and you are holy, and you are pure. And you can come before God knowing that it's the blood of Jesus that has brought you near. We just need a revelation of God's love this morning. Not just that starts this morning. If you already have a revelation of God's love, there's not a person in the world that truly has a revelation of God's love that doesn't also say, "I could also have a greater understanding of God's love." I am firmly convinced the only limitations in our mind are self-imposed because we're doubting God's goodness in some area. I don't know about you, but this message was for me. If nothing else, I'm going to download it later. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, your number of your thoughts. Lord, if we were to count the positive, awesome love thoughts that you have towards us, there would not be room to contain them. And not just the thoughts that you have towards us are more than the grains of sand on the beaches of Durban, but of the beaches of the whole world. Father, give us a revelation of this. Father, forgive us for limiting you based upon who we feel about ourselves, how we feel about ourselves. Father God, we thank you that we can become rooted and grounded in love. We thank you for your word that penetrates our hearts, that is the everlasting word of your word, that is the promises to us that will produce everything that it says it will produce. If we're rooted and grounded in love, Father God, because then our faith works. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, as we come into understanding of your love, Lord, we will be strong and we will do great exploits. Father, I thank you for this week coming up, Father, that you have awesome things planned because you saw this week before time began. And, Father, we believe and we receive everything that you want to give to us during this time so that we can be the people that you've called us to be on the outside, because we're already that way on the inside. But on the outside, Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.